Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well done, good and faithful storm. Yesterday I took a class in diesel mechanics. Seems an odd thing to do, but I did. And I did it because although I am a fairly competent mechanic, and I can take apart a 71 VW engine with my eyes blindfolded behind my back, the first time I sat down and looked at a diesel motor, I said, I wonder what all that stuff is. There are no spark plugs, no distributor. There's no ignition system at all. There's just a bunch of plumbing and funny-looking stuff. And I did like I always do, and I sat and I looked and I looked and I looked, and it didn't make any sense. So being who I am, I thought, what better thing to do than to take a class? If something is unknown to us, we usually try to find someone who knows more and who will impart that knowledge to us. And so I did. And I went and sat at the feet of an aging hippie diesel mechanic in Waipahu, given to riding Harleys and smoking way too much. And he taught me something I didn't know. Now my fellow classmate Tor made me look like a genius. I'm not sure he actually knew where his engine was. But by the end of our time together, we both could do interesting things like clean fuel injectors, exchange out fluids. We learned the joys of Lucas oil treatment and all of that stuff. It was bringing the unknown in to the known. About halfway through the day, our long-haired, chain-smoking, motorcycle-riding, poke-eating professor said, "Oh, I'm a pastor." "Me too," I said. I'm always wary of these conversations. I said, "So what do you do?" And he says, "Well, I'm not involved in the church anymore. Now I'm interested." "I've seen," he says, "the church hurt too many people. So I've just given up. And I do weddings and funerals. I do all of these things. But not within the church." So that blew my sermon for the day out of the water, literally. Because I began to think what he found objectionable about the church was that the church didn't seem to be able to meet the needs of people at their stormiest times, at those difficult diamonds, as we call them, of their lives. Milestones. I thought about that in this text. And I wondered if we are indeed, as a community, failing the world. So I thought about that. And I wondered about Jesus sleeping in the back of the boat in the midst of this giant storm, and how unsatisfying it must have seemed to the disciples and others who were gathered in the boat. They had seen him heal. They had seen him do miracles. They had seen him do all kinds of amazing things. And here they were, as it says in the hymn, "in their peril upon the sea." And he's sleeping. The same thing my good friend accuses the church of doing. of sleeping in the back of the boat. Jesus wakes up and he looks around and he wonders, what is it that you are afraid of? What is it exactly that you are afraid of? And he reaches out his hands and he says, peace. And the storms calm. It's tempting to think of this story as yet another example of God's infinite and all-powerful control over nature. But what we have in our text is a post-resurrection appearance by Jesus set in the fourth chapter of the Gospel of Mark. Think about what happens in the first appearance of Jesus to his disciples after his death. They are experiencing all the things that they're experiencing in that boat. Uncertainty, their master has died and doesn't seem to be coming back. Fear, because they're afraid that the people who are around them will spill over the gunwales into their boat and take them away. Anxiety, distrust. All of that stuff is what they're feeling, the same stuff they're feeling in the boat that day. And Jesus walks through the doors from his sleep and says to them, peace be with you. And the storm is calmed. It's a powerful story in and of itself, but even more powerful when we understand that at its depth, this story gets not at just the power of Jesus over nature, but the power of Jesus in our lives and in the life of the world. It's Jesus' words, or Jesus' words to the waves are really Jesus' words to his disciples and to us. If I was to ask you now, what is the storm in your life? I bet you could figure out what it is. Dissatisfied marital relationship, an ailing parent, worry about the economy, physical pain, anxiety about your job, anxiety about your spouse's job. Heck, in my case, anxiety about everybody's job. You know what the storms are. They swirl around inside of you. You can look at our community and you can see what the storms are. 13.8% is a storm if you're a state worker. It's just a number, but it's a storm. Failing health care, worry about taxes, just go on and on and on. The war in Iraq or Afghanistan or wherever we're going next. Displeasure with the way politics are working. You can figure out what the storm is, but not how to get out. Now, I was raised that when you're in trouble, you get a bigger paddle. And if you paddle a little harder and a little faster, eventually you're going to get out of it. But the problem with storms, and if you sail very much, you know this, those buggers follow you. You can paddle as fast and as hard as you want. They don't go away. I think what my friend this weekend misunderstood about the church is that we are slowly over the centuries learning that we can't paddle faster and expect better results. We can't get a bigger paddle, more evangelism, more programs, more people, and somehow drive away the storm. We don't have the gifts or the talents. I think what my friend missed in his abandoning the ship of the church is that we exist and we live in the storm in the presence of God and of one another. That's the key of what it means to be the body of Christ. That yes, we will fail one another and we will not always immediately respond to every need and every storm. We will fail each other, and we will fail God, and we will fail our community. But we will also be present and responsive and loving. We won't paddle faster, but we will share again and again and again the words of Christ. Peace be with you. Peace. And only then when we stop paddling faster and getting bigger oars and larger sails and bigger engines, when we begin to rest in the rhythm of God's forgiveness and God's peace, when we begin to be embraced by the community that God has formed around us, will we know the peace of God and be calmed? My friend, the diesel mechanic, taught me two things. One, change your oil. Two, it's not always clear how the church, in all of its infinite wisdom, will be a gift to the community. But to abandon it, to strike out on one's own, is like a disciple jumping off the side of the boat and swimming for shore just before Jesus wakes up in the stern of the boat. Instead, we gather together every day in mutual consolation, in love, and in peace, knowing that Jesus is in the stern of the boat, and he is stirring.